that there's a rule that on Friday the 13th, I can tell a mortal I'm a witch.
Oh, the one where you can tell anyone you want and they can know for a whole 24 hours?
Yes.
We didn't want you to know.
Well, I learned it on the streets. So who should I tell, Harvey or Valerie?
Oh, Sabrina, telling mortals is a very bad idea.
But I want to come out of the linen closet.
Ladies, gentlemen, Racine and Boyd, welcome to episode number 34 of Sabrina's Witch Trials. This is, of course, the podcast where each episode we venture back into the mid-1990s to rewatch, review, and reminisce all about everyone's favorite Friday night spellfest, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. I'm Alex Adelusion, I don't know why I'm talking like that, and I'm going to give this episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch the introduction with the amount of excitement that it totally deserves. So it's an episode. Sabrina does not that much magic. I guess she does a lot of magic, but not a lot of interesting things, and nothing really happens. Good night, folks! Now, of course, we're going to break down this episode mundane scene by mundane scene, and along with me on this ride, chat about episode 34, that media maven from chrisconquers.com, Chris Adeuju, is back, and she's ready to talk. Chris, how you doing?
Great.
Good to have you, as always.
Also, that's kind of what you always sound like. You're always, like, very over-the-top energetic in your intro. Like,
In the intro.
I always kind of, like, scrunch up because you're so loud, where I'm like, I feel sorry for people listening to this right now.
Oh, God, it's the voice of God.
No. I think God sounds better.
You think God sounds like Samuel L. Jackson? Or
yeah, what? I feel like he has a smooth, deep voice. Like, it's reassuring, but, like, stern. Hmm.
Do you know that...
Not you, at all.
Fair enough. I am neither smooth, nor reassuring, nor stern. Just facts.
Or deep.
Or deep.
Yeah, your voice isn't very deep.
Why not?
Does anybody out there think Al has a New York accent? Ooh. Let us know, because... I always wonder about that.
I fall back into it sometimes. Like, sometimes going back and listening to this and editing it, I will notice that I drop certain letters that New Yorkers do.
Like,
I don't know. Like, I feel like we drop T's a lot. Coming up
like
next.
Like what?
Yeah, we don't deliver our T's as hard as they should.
But
we should.
I feel like no one says next.
I feel
there's
like
no, people
a lot
don't
of people
put
do.
It like an E at the end of it, like next.
I don't know. I feel like when I get tired, I also go into, like, slurring my speech a lot. Like, I sound drunk. I'm just kind of tired.
Thing. I think that's a lazy thing.
Oh, I'm definitely both. I'm not. Don't worry. It's not one or the other, Chris.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like many people have told me that I don't have a very New York sounding accent. Mm-hmm. But that's also because I know a lot of people who have strong New York accents. So, I don't know.
The best thing is when someone doesn't think they have a strong New York accent, but they obviously do.
Oh, my God. When people come at me with that, I'm just like, yeah, right, sure.
What are you talking? Yeah. Forget about it. My accent is Midwestern.
Well, can I ask you a question?
That is the most... If someone ever asks you a question... Damn, I did it right.
Ax.
Look at me.
If someone ever asks you a question...
They're from Whitestone, New York.
They're from Queens or from Brooklyn.
Staten Island.
Yeah. It's just a New York thing.
Mm. I feel, well, not Manhattan. Like, Manhattan is just like.
Well, I feel like
everyone.
Manhattan is harder because it's like, it's such a blend where things become more homogenous.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And there's your episode discussion for episode 34, To Tell a Mortal.
Sorry about that. But
Chris.
Anyway, if you think we have particularly New York accents,
Let us know. And offend us. By
Please.
All means.
I don't care.
Reach out to Chris on Twitter at Chris Conkers. No H in Chris. No H in Conkers. And
No Chonkers.
Tris Chonkers.
My accent isn't that weird.
That's the name Chris goes by when the FBI comes for her. She puts on a mustache and calls herself Tris Chonkers.
Yeah, Tris with a T.
Yeah. It's my classic New York accent, Chris. We turn C's into T's. Anyway, Tris. Are you ready to discuss episode 34 of Sabrina Teenage Witch, to tell a mortal. Are you ready?
Ready.
That'll sound good once I edit it. Literally nothing happens in this episode, but what I want to know from you, Chris, is how you would describe this episode in a set number of words, that set number being 9.
Okay. Sabrina tells Harvey and Valerie that she's a witch.
That is kind of a slam dunk, but yes, absolutely correct. Could not be more a descriptor of this episode of Sabrina. As I said, episode 34, To Tell a Mortal, first aired November 21st, 1997, written by the Sabrina writing duo of Carrie Honigblum and Renee Phillips. They've written 14 episodes together. This is not their best. They actually wrote The True Adventures of Rudy Kazuti way back in season 1, and they write one of my favorites, Sabrina and the Beanstalk, which is coming up in not too long a period of time. Get ready.
It's an interesting concept for an episode.
This one? Or...
Yeah, this one.
Okay.
I mean...
It is a good idea, but I feel like once they wrote the initial idea, they had nothing else.
I feel like the issue is more with the B story.
Yeah. Well, that is another
super,
issue.
It's a super afterthought.
I feel like the A story is somewhat of an afterthought also.
I feel like you try to cram so much into the A story that you kind of can't develop the emotions of the characters. It's kind of flat in terms of that, because you're like, all these little elements we need to fit in.
Chris, you couldn't tell, but Chris is actually doing a cheer while she did that.
I was doing hand pokes.
Hand pokes.
Let's move on.
I learned this move at the YMCA. Anyway.
Next.
We open in the Spellman kitchen where Sabrina enters after Salem is giggling as Zella tells him that it's not funny. We then find out what it is, if you will, as Salem scares.
If you will.
If you will. I'm doing my Dusty Rhodes again. Salem scares the fuck out of Sabrina because it's Friday the 13th and black witch cats have the ability to scare everyone.
Morning. Why did Salem startle me?
It's Friday the 13th, the day that black witch cats have the power to scare the living daylights out of people.
You should have seen your face. I gotta stop laughing or milk's gonna come out of my nose.
Here comes Hilda, act normal.
Salem is having far too much fun with this and it's fantastic. He then tells him to shut the fuck up because here comes Hilda, and then he gets Hilda and has a great time with it too.
Because it's like, really, what kind of enjoyment does he get out of life?
This is the one good thing in his life.
This is the one day he can, like, have some power over someone. He's not, you know, powerless.
Hilda's cool with it, though. She's supportive until a bat flies out of her mouth. And we quickly find out that Hilda has bat breath because she's been eating those dope-ass pomegranates.
And puns are great, so.
Apparently. That's always been, like, the cornerstone of Sabrina. Puns are great.
Yeah, but, like, it's the most random shit. Like. She's got bat breath.
It literally sounds like somebody, like Renee Phillips, had someone tell her that she had bad breath, but she heard bat breath and was like, oh, fuck. Can't let that gem go away.
Bats are so witchy. Oh, my God.
Anyway, Hilda asks if her bat breath is really that bad, and Zelda and Sabrina look inside her mouth and find out that it is because it's full of bats. And Sabrina gives us the line of, oh, look, a tour group as we go to the open.
Have you been eating pomegranates? Well, I know they don't agree with me, but I just had such a craving for that juicy crimson pulp. Is it bad? Look! A tour group!
How did no one make a joke about spelunking?
That's right. How is there not a stalactite joke? What the fuck,
guys? I mean,
guys?
No, like...
All right, Chris, what did... Aside from your stalactite humor, what did you notice here? Was it just how much fun Nick Mackay was having as Salem? Because I fucking love Salem in the scene. He's having the time of his life.
He's so cute.
The way he says, all right, shut up, here comes Hilda, is maybe my favorite thing from this episode.
I appreciated Hilda's like response, though. Yeah. She wasn't angry. She kind of laughed and was like, good one.
Having a good time.
Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah.
You're a good sport, Hilda.
Let Salem live his best life.
Exactly.
Good morning, Hilda.
Oh, happy Friday the 13th, Salem.
The other thing here, it seemed kind of weird to me. Somehow, despite this being season two, there hasn't been a Friday the 13th between when Sabrina found out she was a witch and now.
They just haven't done an episode on it.
I know.
I can see. It's a second season. Like,
yes, but it feels like Salem would be taking advantage of this every Friday the 13th.
But that doesn't mean they'll show you him taking advantage of it.
Yes, but the fact that Sabrina is shocked by it means that he hasn't done it before.
So then maybe there hasn't been a Friday the 13th. It's, I mean, not the most common thing.
Technically,
okay?
Speaking, there definitely was. The weird thing is, there are actually two Friday the 13ths not too far off when this episode aired.
Oh my god, you are ridiculous.
I'm the host.
It's like, I don't care.
I have to be ridiculous.
I have no respect for
there's
you.
There's a... Oh.
And your position as host.
Yeah, hold on to your seats here, folks. Someone doesn't have respect for Al. I get no respect. Enter Rodney Dangerfield joke in this
This
section.
Is why. You do it to yourself.
He was a funny man who said funny things.
I mean, I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, last week my house was on fire. My wife told the kids, be quiet, you wake up daddy.
Anyway, there's one in January and one in February, so you could have just saved this episode for then when it was actually Friday the 13th. That's my one point.
But why?
Because so
Let
much of this episode...
Let them live their lives.
So much of this episode is built around the fact that it's Friday the 13th. I think it'd be a cool thing if it was actually aired on Friday the 13th.
Okay, but sometimes when you're writing and producing and creating a whole series...
That's fair.
You don't have the ability to do it right at the perfect date.
That's fair, but I don't feel like anything in this episode was really time sensitive.
No, but I don't think it was a matter of it being time sensitive in that respect. I think it's it falling into the schedule the way it needs to.
That's fair. Chris, in her room, Sabrina is startled by the Quizmaster's arrival, and he's basically just there to tell her that it's Friday the 13th. He also gets scared by Salem, and he's not as cool with it as Hilda is. He eventually tells her that there's more to Friday the 13th than just jackass witch cats, and he sends her to the magic book to read up on the subject, and she finds something very interesting. She comes down the stairs telling us what it is, that apparently on Friday the 13th, witches can tell mortals that they are witches, and go figure, it only lasts until midnight.
Which is weird, because first of all, she doesn't say that it only lasts till midnight. It's 24 hours. So I guess it's the 24 hours of that day.
Oh, Friday the 13th.
But that's not the way it kind of sounds. It kind of sounds like they only remember for 24 hours.
Yeah, that's, I think
I guess it's just a 24-hour period in which she can...
That's the amnesty there. The day of Friday the 13th.
You guys gotta lay out these vague ass witch terms clearly, okay?
Yeah, way to go, Renee Phillips. Notice I'm not saying the other one's name.
Hey, I was just supportive about her not putting it on a Friday the 13th, okay?
Which was a mistake, honestly.
Well, maybe she didn't have control over it.
Anyway, the aunts tell her that they didn't tell Sabrina this fact because they didn't want her to know, because telling mortals that you are a witch can have serious repercussions. They then go into some story time about times in their lives when they told people special to them that they were witches. And we start off with Hilda. And Hilda tells us about a boyfriend she once had who was a doctor. Go fucking figure. It's good old German mate Sigmund Freud. Maybe Austrian. Who knows?
I think he was Austrian.
Well, I've covered both bases, so it doesn't matter. I sound smart either way. He finds out that she's a witch by her telling him in his office. He doesn't believe her initially, so she zaps in a watch that he's always wanted, and Sigmund Freud is stunned and disgusted. He yells for her to get out of there, and we quickly cut to a scene of her in a straitjacket on a wheelchair being wheeled out by orderlies as he convinces himself that it didn't happen and it was just bad knockwurst.
Get out of here, bitch! Bitch! Take her out of here!
We can make it work!
This didn't happen. It was bad knockwurst. Yeah, that's
right. He is, in fact, Austrian.
There we go.
And he does look like Kelsey Grammer.
That's where the whole Frasier character came from. It's from his appearance.
I mean, like, legit, Google him and the picture that comes up on Google
Yeah.
He kind of looks like an older, balder Kelsey Grammer.
The Sigmund Freud that they cast here, the actor, I don't have his name in front of me, but I'll find it very quickly.
A more skeptical Kelsey Grammer.
More inquisitive.
He's got like a brow, like he's kind of like squinting, like as if he like doesn't believe what you're saying.
Mm. Timothy Oman plays Sigmund Freud here, and I believe he's actually been in a lot of stuff. I recognize his name, but in as he plays Sigmund here, he's very like jazz handy. Like yep. He's got very overreactive gestures in the scene. Anyway, we then cut back to the aunts where Hilda makes the Sigmund Freud joke that everyone makes whenever anyone in any medium discusses Sigmund Freud. She says that she gave him a Freudian slip by tripping him.
Yeah.
The best Freudian slip joke I ever heard was on actually Frasier, when Frasier goes on a ski trip and it's like a meeting of psychologists. It's a real fun joke. I'll put it in right here.
Dr. Crane sent us a postcard from Aspen.
Great. How's he doing?
Let's see. I delivered a speech at the conference last night. I was especially pleased with my opening line. My fellow psychiatrists, as I watched you on the slopes today, I realised I'd never seen so many Freudians slip. As hard as you're laughing now, imagine the thunder of an auditorium of colleagues.
Fun joke, huh, Chris? We move on. Then, of course, there's Zelda's experience. She tells us about her telling her friend Gwendolyn that she was a witch. This was at a time when Gwendolyn was a common name. And Old English time is what I described it as here in my notes.
It looks medieval.
They have a lot of fun. Gwendolyn asks Zelda to make some man rip his pants, which she does. But things then turn sour as we find out Gwendolyn was a blabbermouth. And she was such a blabbermouth that she told the town that Zelda was a witch, and they blame her for their crops failing, so she gets cornered with pitchforks and torches, and she gets dunked.
Ye old dunking.
And what does Zelda tell us about her experiences in dunking, Chris?
She still doesn't like swimming?
I fucking love the way that Beth Broderick delivers that line. It's another of my few favorite things from this episode.
To this day, I don't care for swimming.
But yes, she doesn't like swimming. And Sabrina notes that, you know, mortals forget after midnight, but it's still dangerous, the aunts say, because you will have the memory of how they reacted with mm-hmm. you for the rest of your life.
Which I think is a very valid point.
It definitely is.
I mean, you're never going to be able to see those people in the same light.
She comments about how unuplifting this speech was before she heads to school as Salem returns from outside, where he spooked a bread truck, adding that the street is now full of buns.
My understanding was originally that he could only do it to witches, but I guess he can do it to anyone.
This definitely establishes that everyone's affected.
His excitement about the street being full of buns. Oh my god, it was so cute.
Just spooked a bread truck. The street is full of buns.
The thing I noted was, if the street's full of buns, the street is also full of corpses, because whoever was driving that bun truck is definitely dead from that spooking. How do buns come
out
of...
He might have swerved, and if he crashed into something, the back thing might have popped open, and buns came spilling out.
The driver is definitely injured at least.
He might have been safe.
He was so scared, he started throwing buns out of the truck.
My thing is more, if... the street is littered with buns. Mm-hmm. Why is Salem not taking advantage? Why is he not coming back with his little mouthful of a bun? Yes?
Ketchup truck. It's hamburger stand. That one's headed to Jay. But yes, it's a good point. But why would a cat want to eat bread? Cats don't eat bread.
He eats everything.
Yeah.
It's Salem.
I guess, but...
also, bread is fabulous.
Yeah, but buns?
Buns?
I'm imagining, like... you know.
Not like hamburger buns.
That's what I was imagining.
It's a bread truck, like probably like freshly baked buns.
Oh yeah, that artisanal bake shop that's right down the road.
No, but maybe a bakery. Okay.
Sure, but is it artisanal?
No.
Oh, then why?
Because that's pretentious.
Why would you bother? Honestly,
maybe it's just like a good old fashioned bun shop,
like artisanal quality,
and right. They, you know, transport them to local restaurants that use them for meals.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. The buns.
Actual stuff to talk about. Let's go back to when the Quizmaster showed up, Chris.
But the buns, though.
Speaking of buns, did you see the Quizmaster's fine-ass pants? No.
I did.
Was it just me, or did he look oddly good in that outfit?
No, he did not look oddly good. He looked more ridiculous than usual.
I disagree.
Dude, it was like a basket weave, yellow, black, gray pattern. And then lime green, like, not metallic, but like sheen, like pants with a sheen. Mm. And pleat, like a fold.
And the shoes. Lime green shoes.
The shoes, whatever. Like, the shoes, but...
Listen, he does look a little like Jim Carrey in The Mask during that Cuban Pete.
It's ridiculous. Bit. Like, it's not ruffled, but still.
It could, like, if it was, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, it would just be a straight up costume.
I think it looks better than most of the things he wears.
No, it does not. It does not. It's not good.
Disagree.
I'm sometimes with his suits, I'm impressed. Like, it takes someone to carry that off. Mm-hmm. But it's like a basket weave, like, print. Like, it's weird.
I don't know. I don't like it. Is it odd, Chris, that a girl who has spent so much time conflicted between her school life and her actual life of who she is would have never come across this notion of how she could tell her friends that she's a witch? Didn't that seem kind of odd that she just didn't know about this?
No, it doesn't, because Sabrina is really shitty at studying up on witch things. That she never knows about anything because she spends literally no time studying her witch's manual. So... that surprises me in the least. Like, of all the things, that's the least surprising.
Fair. What did you have here, Chris?
Let's see.
Was it, like, why does this day happen? Like, what caused this thing to be a thing? Because, like...
no.
Witches... listen, the witches we've seen... mm-hmm. ...tend to be racist against...
mortals.
Mortals. Like, what was the history of the establishment of this day?
The thing is, a lot of witches choose not to live in the... like, we've seen many witches who choose to live in the other realm and do have a prejudice against mortals. Mm-hmm. But we don't happen to see the witches that live in the mortal realm. And you have to figure there must be a shit ton of witches living in the mortal realm.
Yeah.
So... it does make sense that there would be a lot of witches who would like the opportunity to share with the mortals in their lives
Right. Who
they really are. So to me, it doesn't seem like an outlandish thing. The fact that it's on Friday the 13th, I think, is just like a kitschy little thing.
Sure, but I just think it's odd that like some witches were like, okay, we'll make this day, despite the fact that we hate those fucking mortals.
Well, sometimes it comes multiple times a year. Meaning multiple times a year, sure. They could tell.
I get it.
Which is nice. And in theory, they could tell them every year and enjoy like a new time in their life.
I mean, to be clear, you can tell a mortal pretty much any time because Sabrina does in the future.
But it's the ability to tell them and...
have it wiped away.
Yeah.
The other thing is, these witches have proven many times to have the ability to make people forget things. You could do that at any time, too.
True.
Like, that's...
I think the thing is, if it gets out of hand and it reaches, like, media and stuff, mm-hmm. you can't do a mass wipe.
The real thing is...
that sounded weird.
You know, go into the bathroom and do a mass wipe. The real thing is the carnivals. You can't have a carnival every day. So
it's Mortal Day.
You need special days.
It's Mortal Day.
Did you like the t-shirts?
I thought it was cute that the sign said Mortal Day and like it all said Mortal Day.
Perfect.
It makes it special. And the fact that it's the one time in that mortals can go to the other realm without repercussions.
I don't know if they can go. Because, I mean, Jenny's gone.
Yeah, but don't you remember what happened to Jenny when she went?
Yeah, I guess. Good point. All right.
Yeah.
Chris.
Mm-hmm. Also, why is it like that they don't magically appear at the Witches Council area anymore? Like, does anyone notice that? Where, like, it used to be, like, whenever she went to the other realm, she automatically showed up there first. Like, you had to go, like, the lobby of, like, the other realm or something.
There was limbo.
But then eventually it was just, like...
time consuming, Chris. Yeah. You don't want to see her have to, like... you don't want to see all of the traveling either.
Make any sense that she would always go there first because it's like, why is it that when Jenny wandered in, that's where she went.
Maybe that's just
of
like,
all the places.
That's like the first stop on the train.
Maybe what, or maybe if you don't select a place it's, in mind when you go
it
in,
defaults.
Yeah, that's the default because otherwise it's like.
It's like a police station, or it's like
people or like the HR.
You just drop them off. It's like, listen, you'll be safe here.
The HR of the other realm. Because if you think about it, like she could have ended up at like the beauty shop or something. She could have ended up anywhere. Denny's. She could have ended up at Denny's.
And now I have a script to write for my fanfic episode where Jenny ends up at the beauty parlor at the Full Moon Beauty Spa.
And they straighten her hair.
Yes. Very good. I've got my ending. Chris, what else did you have here? Did you like the Hilda of Zelda scene?
Why the hell? Like, since when are pomegranates something that you...
You're still on that? I don't know. People eat pomegranates. People like them.
Are people that into it, though? Like,
Hilda
is. That a thing?
People eat them.
Okay.
Well, we'll talk about the pomegranate food a little bit later on. But the Zelda scene... I mean, the Hilda scene and the Zelda scene both have the same issue in my mind. Like,
yeah.
These are both people with magical powers. How did two orderlies and Sigmund Freud manage to get a straitjacket on her and like tie her down to a wheelchair? And how did a bunch of villagers with pitchforks manage to tie Zelda and dunk her? Like, well, you have magic still.
I know. I feel like to a certain extent, like Hilda, I could understand because Hilda might be like, maybe I can talk my way out of it. Mm-hmm. He'll listen. He'll
still
listen.
Loves me.
The Zelda thing is kind of like just fucking flee, like
or,
at that point,
you know, make their crops fail. That'll get them.
Or freeze them and run away.
Also true.
Also works.
Anything else here, Chris?
Did you notice that Sabrina said she wants to come out of the linen closet?
I did
that
indeed.
That was kind of cute.
In fact, the commercial for this episode of Sabrina that aired on TGIF really stresses that Sabrina is coming out.
Tonight, Sabrina's coming out.
I'm a witch.
Mortals everywhere will be talking. Drew Carey guest stars on an all-new Sabrina.
And of course, we came in with that great song.
Pride Month.
That's true. Although it's over now. It's July. Mm-hmm. I thought it was June.
I think July's Pride Month.
No, I'm almost positive it's June.
All right, let me look this up because I don't believe you.
Okay.
Because I've seen all the Pride stuff recently.
As you look it up, I'll continue here. At lunch, Valerie says hi to Libby, who... wants nothing to do with her, tells her to fuck off. And Sabrina wonders why Valerie keeps trying to be friends with Libby.
It says June.
Yeah.
But I feel like this weekend and like this week I've seen a lot of stuff.
Libby, Valerie explains, is cool and popular. And that's all Valerie really wants. She wants to be popular. She wants to be liked. Valerie then asks if Sabrina can help her study for her Spanish exam because she needs to get at least a B to pass. Sabrina agrees in Spanish, and then Valerie notes that she will be okay with a C. Sabrina then goes to hand in her her food tray, and she hands it in to RuPaul's stunt double? I don't know. Maybe from afar? Quizmaster, who for some reason is wearing full... woman regalia.
First of all,
yes,
Quizmaster does not know how to pad, so no, we cannot compare him to RuPaul in any way.
I was going to ask you what you thought his drag name should be. As you do that, I'll keep reading.
I want it to be good, so keep reading.
Anyway, he tells her that he's here to give her a quiz as a quiz about her endurance, and he sends her away along with him. They zap the hell out of there. They head to Antarctica for the Iditarod. But of course, Sabrina is worried because she still needs to help Valerie. She said it like she was falling off a bridge.
We're off to Alaska for the Iditarod.
Oh, but what about Valerie?
Valerie wonders where Sabrina went, but Libby just notices that a geek was dumped by a freak. It's like a story of the week. And then I assume she just continued rhyming until...
Which I don't think it does seem like a movie of the week. Or
sorry, I think she said a nerd was dumped by a geek. I want to be pinpoint accurate here. Still rhymes, though.
No, that's not what she said. She said freak.
Did she? Or are you just thinking that she
might have said nerd, but mm-hmm. She said freak. Sabrina is the freak.
Freak?
Yes, not geek.
A nerd was dumped by a freak. It's okay. Like a story of the week.
A nerd ditched by a freak.
It's like a movie of the week.
I still like the rhyme. Well done.
And I have my drag name. It's very simple.
Go on.
It's Ms. Master.
Does he wear a lot of leather?
No, Ms. like M-I-Z. Ms.
No, no, master. I get it, but like the master part.
Because it's quiz master.
I get it, but you have to build the character. Build out the character, Chris. Cat of nine tails.
I thought she was a cafeteria lady.
Yeah, but if you don't clean your fucking tray, she'll hit you with her whip.
Okay.
How did she get this job? HR has failed here. Anyway, in the Spellman dining room, we then cut there, where Zelda gives Hilda a cure for her bat breath. However, she takes it and then finds that it now gives her bass breath. She coughs out a little fish, as we've often all done, I assume. And,
what?
Zelda just comments that she thinks she's on the right track. Sabrina and Quizmaster then return with the teen in full Eskimo gear as he tells her to mush back to class, adding that she had a substitute, but she does get her homework. She then quickly finds Valerie and tries to apologize, but she says that she got an F in Spanish and tells her to save it, adding that she thought they were friends. Sabrina, hurt by this, decides to tell Valerie the truth about her, takes her to a classroom that happens to be empty, and lets her know that she's a witch.
Valerie, you're my best friend and I've been lying to you. Look, I wanted to tell you the biggest secret of my life, and then maybe you'll understand why I've disappeared in the cafeteria and been acting strange pretty much all the time. I'm a witch.
Valerie reacts in the most unnatural way anyone has ever reacted to anything ever. She begins to react by saying, "Get out," leading Sabrina to imagine that she's being wheeled out in a straitjacket. But Valerie then quickly just continues the sentence, apparently, with, "Of here, this is so cool."
Get out! Of here, this is so cool!
There were better ways to write that.
It's not that she pauses, it's that Sabrina, while she's saying it,
I understand, but the way it is, like, delivered, like, she says get out, and then you cut back to her after the straitjacket, and it's like, of here, this is so cool.
Ideally, it would have been get out of here.
No,
aggressive, like, get out of here.
That's fair. Or you could have just said, get out, this is so cool. You don't need the of here there.
No, it needed to be exactly what was said to Hilda, which is what he said.
But Hilda says, get out of here, but Sabrina starts freaking out after she says, get out.
I know, I understand. That's why I said it should have been after get out of here.
That's fair.
But I also understand that they did it that way because...
It's just stupid.
It was her thinking.
It sounds really dumb, is my point here. Yeah. Sabrina confirms that Valerie doesn't want to have her committed, and she starts answering some of her witch questions that Valerie has. She says that the pointed hats and warts are pure Hollywood, though they do use cauldrons.
And they do wear pointed hats when they use the cauldrons.
They definitely do. And there's been an episode where Sabrina has had a wart.
I think it's more of the fact that they don't wear the hats all the time, which is a misconception.
Sure. You still do use hats, though, Sabrina.
Yeah.
You have very fancy hats that look real cool. We all commented on it when it happened. Chris, let's go to maybe the most important part of this scene. A moment that touched me. I thought it was very... it was actually honestly very powerful. I am, of course, talking about Libby's outfit. What the fuck?
Coat?
Is Libby wearing
with
here?
The orange? Yeah, I thought she looked like a piece of cheese.
I think
like a cheese.
It's an orange
pastry.
Turtleneck over like a camel. Under a camel.
Like peacoat.
Peacoat and like matching pea pants. The thing is, she looks like a news.
She looks
reporter.
Like a mom.
She looks like a news reporter in like 1974.
It looks like something Mrs. Quick would wear.
She looks like fucking Mary Tyler Moore. Okay,
a little bit, but not as cool.
No, of course not. How could anyone be cool as 70s Mary Tyler Moore.
It's true, but she looks like 70s Mary Tyler
Moore. Yes. She looks like she's on the Mary Tyler Moore show. What the fuck?
I don't know.
She's supposed to be like 17 or 16. My God.
I think it's... But she always goes for a very, like, different kind of chic. Like, it's not like the popular girl, like, wearing, like, butterfly clips and, like, you know, tube tops. Mm-hmm. She's wearing, like, almost like mom clothes. But it is that she has, like, a very... She goes for a very, like, Jackie O kind of style.
Mm, definitely. Was it just me, Chris? Or did you also think that Quizmaster looked oddly good as a woman?
No, I already said he didn't pad well. Like,
That's true.
In that shot, he looks okay. But when he starts moving, he's very badly padded. Like, yes, they put no effort.
But in the dress itself, doesn't he look good in the dress?
No.
No? I think he does. I think the hair looks good on him also.
He didn't cover his facial hair. In any way.
But that's part of the fun, is like...
But no.
All right.
You're not actually trying. I'm sorry. There's an artistry to drag, and he did not achieve it.
I will critique the Quizmaster as much as anyone, but I think he's killing it on this episode of Sabrina with Teenage
Witch. You should learn more about drag then.
No, thanks. Chris, very good. Very good. I assume that's a reference to RuPaul's Drag Race.
It is.
What did you think of the obviously, honestly quite touching scene, in my opinion, of Valerie and Sabrina in the classroom?
I didn't think it was as touching as you thought.
I thought the Sabrina bit before she tells Valerie and like the explanation of why she's been so...
Her coming out story.
I thought it was actually... It wasn't as good as it could have been, because I think there is a lot of... emotion to touch there with Sabrina, especially coming from season one. But I think what Melissa Joan Hart does do a good job of explaining how she's had the secret for a long time. This is why I've been the way I have been, and why you might have noticed I have been this way. I think her delivery there is spot on and is really touching.
I think it's more touching than most of the things on the show, but I don't think it's nearly as touching as it honestly would have been if it were, like, a drama.
And I think also, I agree with you, but I think also of the two moments where someone finds out in this episode, this is by far the better one.
Well, but the thing is, which honestly really bothers me, and we'll get to that, but, like, Harvey doesn't find out from Sabrina.
He does
which
not.
Which is really fucked up, because... Harvey and Sabrina have been a thing since way before Valerie came into the picture.
Since 1236.
And then having her be the one to tell him really pissed me off. Because first of all, Valerie, who the fuck do you think you are to go
tell
him?
Been here for like 10 episodes.
Like, I don't... Like, it's her coming out. Like, she should be the one telling him. Mm-hmm. It's not right for you to do that. Fucking Valerie, thinking she can do whatever she wants.
I've already touched on the terrible editing of that delivery from Lindsay Sloan. Did you have anything else here, Chris?
Nope.
Okay. Valerie asks Sabrina to do some pointy magic for her, but the Quizmaster pops in, stopping the girls, and ushers them back into the classroom so that he can explain to them that when you use magic with a mortal, you have to use a ticket, because they've discovered that mortals aren't really good at self-control when it comes to magic.
Or firearms.
So he takes a ticket for the sweater that she zapped in to prove to Valerie that she was a witch. And he goes to leave, and I felt something that was a little bit... It felt kind of like Valerie was telling Quizmaster to dance for her, when she was like, hey, do some of that, like, puffy outy magic where you come in with a big puff of smoke, go out like that, and he's just like, I'm just gonna leave. You see what I mean? They're a bit fucked. Like, okay, Valerie, just, you know, calm down.
I think it's accurate, though.
He's a human being.
I think to a mortal, it would be like everything that a witch does has to be, you know, extra special and magical. Like it doesn't seem right for them to just, like, walk away.
We then get a montage, one of many in this episode, because writing is hard. A montage of Sabrina and Valerie using magic together. Some of the great... You have to remember, folks, every time Sabrina is asked by Valerie to do something magically, Sabrina uses a ticket.
So many of them are waste.
All wastes. She makes a teacher dance. She gets no homework, which isn't that big a deal.
But that's better than making the teacher randomly dance.
She magically makes like newspapers fly out of Libby's locker into her face.
She also makes Libby
suck her thumb, which is making out with a guy.
She wasn't making out with him. He was leaning over her and hitting on her. And then she put her thumb in her mouth and then was like, shit, why am I doing this? And ran away.
Listen,
that guy was a total fuckboy, though. Because he like starts checking out Sabrina and Valerie when he walks away. He is like a total fuckboy.
They were laughing. It was like, hey, yeah, good times, huh?
Nice fun. No. He was checking them out.
That's perfectly fine.
So good on Libby, because...
Good on Libby for sucking her thumb.
No, good on Libby for avoiding a fuckboy.
Anyway, we then go back to the aunts where Zelda, with a lot of hair gel in her hair, gives a doubting Hilda her latest attempt at a bat breath cure, and go figure it works. Zelda immediately begins saying that she's a genius who will save the world, though Hilda just comments that it's a glorified breath mint.
Yes, it worked! Thanks, sister!
Not just your sister. I'm a genius. I can end hunger. I can save the world.
Oh, for crying out loud, it's a breath mint.
Back at Westbridge, Valerie spots Senora Martinez coming down the way. And Senora Martinez walks up and gives her a bit of sass.
So much shade.
Saying hola before...
No, she said hello.
No, she says hola. That means hello.
No, I'm pretty sure she said hello. That means hello. And then
no, she said,
Valerie
hola,
said...
That means hello.
Okay, we need to play the clip because...
Okay, ready?
Maybe I heard it differently. But I heard her say... Hello, that means hello, and Valerie was like, hola, back to her.
Snap your finger.
Hola, Valerie, that means hello.
You were wrong, Chris.
We did not play it. You can't do this.
Chris, what are you talking about, Chris? We just heard it.
I know, I'm sorry, I need verification. I'm not going
to
buy it.
I'll prove it to you. I will not accept it. I'll prove it to you pretty soon.
Hola, Valerie, that means hello.
Anyway, Sabrina... pulls a bit of zappy magic, and Valerie can now speak as well. I described her as Antonio Banderas here. To be fair, Lindsay Sloan's Spanish sounds like somebody who's never spoken Spanish in their life and had to learn Spanish in 10 minutes.
And read it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But she is able to speak Spanish and asks Senora Martinez in Spanish for a makeup test because she was scared, and Senora Martinez agrees. Valerie then states how much she loves magic before spotting Harvey down the way, and despite Sabrina telling her not to go do this, she runs and tells Harvey that Sabrina is a witch. Harvey comes up, confused, because you can't be a witch, because that's insane, but Sabrina happily proves that she is a witch to Harvey by zapping on a brand new pair of white cleats in front of the entire fucking hallway of people who were just there walking around. They go off to talk about it elsewhere as we see Libby emerge from a nearby classroom, having overheard everything, noting that apparently freak was an understatement. Chris.
Dun dun dun.
That's why I threw it to you. Thank you. So we already spoke about how stupid Valerie's uses of magic are. You really got that Libby when you had some papers fly in her face. What a great...
I mean,
you could have, like...
There's a reason you're not popular.
You could have gotten rid of, like, all hunger, but way to...
No. You need better burns, my friend.
Way
better
to get
burns.
Her. Try harder.
Make her rip her pants. She should have ripped her pants. This would have been good.
She could have had funny underwear
on. Or, like, someone spill something on her. That would have been more dramatic than papers. Like, papers don't leave stains. That's not going to stay with her.
Listener, if you take one thing away from today's episode, it's papers don't leave stains. My God, this is a bounty commercial all over again. Chris.
Yes.
So Sabrina, being a fucking idiot, uses magic in front of everyone.
Yeah, I don't get that. I'm sorry. It's just like...
She should be getting dumped right now.
In the middle of the hall. Like, you were so concerned that about Harvey finding out, and then he finds out and you completely forget about that and just, like... zapping cleats in front of everyone?
You show no less than a dozen people that you have magical powers. The reason everyone believes Libby a little bit later on is because there are 40 corroborating witnesses.
Yep, and they've all seen weird things.
Okay, that wasn't stress, but that should be the reason why everyone so easily believes Libby, which we will also talk about in a second. Chris, anything else to add here?
I mean, cleats. Those cleats were ugly, but okay.
Look like golf shoes.
And I already mentioned that Valerie had no right. And absolutely. That's just fucked up. Like, I'm sorry. Don't do that.
Don't
out
your
people. Friends. Like, yeah. that's not cool.
Absolutely.
It's too. Not your place.
God, we're going to bump you out of here and Dreama's coming in the season early.
Oh, my God. Fucking. This is just like restating why I don't like Valerie. Like, I've never liked her. I feel like I've made this clear on the podcast. Like, who the fuck do you think you are, Valerie?
You bitch. Sabrina and Harvey and Val are then headed to the other realm, which Salem tells them they call the Witchy City. They're all shocked that Salem can talk. Probably not Sabrina.
Harvey's adorably excited.
I'm glad you brought this up, because when Salem starts talking and the two of them go, ah! Harvey has to react, but he's not all the way up the steps yet.
He kind of does it first.
So he's like turning and reacting. So it's like, oh God, I gotta do this. Ah, I'm scared. It's like in his head, Nate Richards is like, I have to react to this cat.
But he seemed like really cute about it. Like, you've talked this whole time?
It's wonderful.
So what is this other realm?
Little place we call the Witchy City.
Salem talks?
And I have a pretty good singing voice.
And he stops.
Salem also notes that he does more than talk and starts singing before Sabrina shuts him up, and they hop into the linen closet, and it takes like 40 times longer than it ever has to transport people, but eventually they appear in what is really like a festival or a carnival for mortals. They soon meet a giant selling balloons for mortals, and when Sabrina buys them each one because they're five, we discover that the giant is headless. Chris, can you believe it? Yes, because you just watched the episode. He calls Sabrina a sucker for buying non-magical balloons, mm-hmm. which, I mean, it's still a balloon.
Yeah, but it's not really interesting to them because, like, they came here expecting
everything to
be magical. Yeah.
Basically, Sabrina shits on carny workers, and they have a look around. Harvey finds some VR sunglasses that make him super cool surf, super cool. He looks totally rad as he as Nate Richard pretends to be surfing, and even Lindsay Sloan has to shit on him. Fair play.
For looking like a dork.
Fair play.
Wow, that's amazing. You can look dorky in this realm too.
At Westbridge, here we go, folks. Libby tells a group of students that she heard and saw that Sabrina is a witch herself. As all of them probably also did. They then immediately believe her, which, mm-hmm. to be fair, I mean, they saw.
Super believable.
She stops their loud murmuring to say that they've got to figure out how to use this information so that it can best help Libby. Back in the Spellman kitchen, Hilda thanks Zelda as she can now stuff her face full of disgusting pomegranate treats. Unhappy with enabling Hilda's addiction, Zelda is soon cheered up when she receives a letter in the toaster, aside from Hilda's gross-looking pomegranate toast.
I think they just stuffed seeds into the piece of
dog. The letter's from Elixir Pharmaceuticals, folks, and it invites Zelda to bring her new bat breath discovery and her subject for a lecture. Salem asks to go also so that he can scare more people, and Hilda doesn't want to go. Because she doesn't want to be around eggheads. But Zelda's threat of no more cure and no more pomegranates forces Hilda to go, although Hilda does get in a sick burn to Zelda. I definitely said that right.
Egghead.
Chris.
Yeah.
I love this
scene.
So
many things to note.
So much. Do you want to start at the carnival?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay. VR glasses. Makes sense.
Yeah.
As a witch.
Simple
thing.
Enough.
Mm-hmm. The giant is a real prick. Also, speaking of New York accents, there's one. And I feel like he's also doing like a New York Jew accent. I'll put in a bit of it here, but I feel like that's what he's what he's aiming for.
Yeah.
Balloon! Buy your model a balloon!
I'll take two.
I know. I have tomato sauce on my tie.
I think it's just a New York accent. I think you're, because you've seen so many, like, most of the time on TV, a lot of times on TV, when you see New York accents, it's a New York Jew. So in your mind, they're linked.
I'm thinking Paul Reiser exclusively. It's only Paul Reiser in my head.
Probably, yeah. But it's really just a New York accent.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
There were magic carpets.
Yeah, which I thought was cool.
Right.
In terms of if you think of like the things that would be there, mm-hmm. like what would you want to be there?
That's a very broad question. I would like to see what was her name, Elaine or Diane from the beauty supply selling mm-hmm. those makeover mirrors.
Okay.
And those anti wrinkle beans. You figured she'd have a stand there. So maybe some magical pets. That would be cool. Some like fun, like little dragons, baby dragon. You
like
buy.
Win a baby dragon in a jar game, mm-hmm. like the goldfish game, but sure. with like baby dragons. And then, like sometimes there's like fire coming out,
mm-hmm. or like baby. This is far too expensive for them to ever do. Yeah. Like as a set thing.
I mean, but this is for us.
Maybe I would change dragon to like little Loch Nesses, little baby Loch Nesses. Because they would be in the tank.
I don't
more.
Think it's cool.
Okay. What else? Maybe
think of carnival games that we could easily like manipulate.
Like a race on a vacuum, but like you have to tie your leg to the witch's leg. It's like two people on one vacuum. You have to race like that.
Vacuum racing. How about that?
That works.
Bumper vacuums.
That's not bad.
Quidditch. Quidditch.
We've stolen this, but it's real fun. Hop on, Harvey. Catch the snitch.
Or like if your friend said they were a witch, right? Mm-hmm. And they could use a ticket for one thing for you that day. Like, what would you have them do?
I would just want like a really shredded body. Just do me up. Rip me out. Bulging everywhere, please. What about you?
No idea.
I mean, I know mine is selfish, but I want to look good for summer. Come on, folks. Fucking beach season is here. You got to do your sit-ups or your friends got to zap you. It's got to be one or the other.
I feel like thicker hair.
Yours is even worse than mine.
I mean, if your hair's thinning, then, you know, like, that's what you want.
But Chris. But
thicker hair only on my head.
Okay, fair enough. No leg hair. No,
well,
no.
This is the thing. If you're Iberian and you are a girl and you have like genetics where you get very hairy, then it sucks. Fucking sucks.
I was gonna say, but I would go with the body over the hair because we know there are many handsome, ripped, bald men. I'm thinking exclusively of the guy from Baywatch.
Yeah, but you're a dude, and it's different if you're a girl.
Fair enough.
So
I don't know, some bald chicks are cool.
Some bald chicks are cool, but
that's a broad enough statement where I can't be proven untrue.
Yeah.
Absolutely no bald chicks have ever been cool.
I feel like there are several things I would want to do that are just random things.
Sure.
But it's like non-body related.
Like a stand where everybody can make their own dream date. Big pile of Mando.
But that would also be, I feel like that would be awesome, but at the same time, it's kind of like the whole part of the day is to spend the day with your witch friend.
Yeah. And you two can make somebody together. Like
you can have a double date. I think that would be cute.
Yeah.
But then it's also kind of like you're not spending the time with them.
No, but you're like, there's that, or you're just making another friend, or you can maybe make a celebrity. You have your friend zapping a celebrity. That's one they should have done.
They did that.
Did they?
Yeah.
Drew Carey, I guess. I said celebrity, not...
I thought regenerating corn dog was cool.
Listen, we'll talk about that
I
montage.
Love corn dogs.
They
so
had nothing to
I'm
do.
I'm sorry.
They had no ideas.
No, but no, I think they came up with some very simple carnival-esque things that were still semi-magical. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So I think the Mando idea is awesome. But I think it's also not original in terms of the mirror thing isn't original because it's something we've already seen
right.
in terms of Magic
sure,
World.
Sure, sure.
And it's kind of like they want to do new things.
I mean, this is why we don't write episodes of Sabrina, because thinking of magical things is harder than it seems.
I know.
Chris, were you as annoyed as I was that everyone immediately believes Livy's story about this girl being a witch? Because, like, I mean, you can
It was a little too immediate.
You can kind of accept the school one because, as we said, everyone sees.
Yeah.
But the parents later on.
It's like there's literally no proof. And also at the same time,
I saw it.
There's
believe
no
me.
Physical proof. And also at the same time, it's like they make it into such like no one would take it seriously.
No, they would think they would laugh at her. And when she was again saying it, they would think she's insane.
If they had like a video or something, and even if like they did believe her saying that she's a witch, like it would not have been that mob of people.
No, like, it'd be like crackpots.
Yeah.
It's
not
like
actual news anchors.
No, it's like no, not seven news anchors appearing at this girl's house at midnight. It's like that time Donald Trump said that Barack Obama literally founded ISIS, and then like some conservative pundits were like, well, what he means is, you know, his policies led to the formation of ISIS in the Middle East, and he doubled down and was like, no, he's literally the founder of ISIS. He literally founded ISIS. It's like, Libby, let it go.
And she's an extraterrestrial.
We tried to give you an out. You should have taken it.
I heard it with my own ears, and I've seen it with my own eyes. Sabrina's
the founder of ISIS.
The pomegranate stuff, Chris. All the pomegranates.
Did you see, did you notice the cake had like a literal sliced down the pomegranate? The whole, you can't even eat most of those parts.
The cake is my favorite one because there are some that like lend themselves to being like pomegranate stuff, like a pomegranate pie. Some of the cake, some
there's
of the
like
cookies.
Cookies with like pomegranate in the middle.
Yep.
But that's like the fact that they literally cut through a pomegranate so that you could see all the layers of it and the shape.
They just decorated a cake with slivers of slices pomegranate. Of pomegranate.
But like so many of those parts you're not supposed to eat, I
no,
believe.
No, you really just eat the seeds.
Yeah. But she, which is another thing, she wasn't talking about the seeds when she was talking about her love
the
of
pulp.
Eating it.
Yeah. The pulp, that tasty crimson pulp. The pomegranate toast, Chris.
Which is just seeds pushed into the toast. Why would you put them in and then toast it?
The best thing
that seemed weird to me. Like, wouldn't you toast it and then push it into your bread?
If I
rather
had
than putting it in your bread and then toasting it?
Yes.
Doesn't that seem like it would get all over the toaster?
First of all, this makes no pomegranate toast makes no sense. Like
unless you use like pomegranate jam on your toast.
Or if you put it into the dough. Like some people,
right.
It's cranberry, it's
right.
Raisin bread. That's something. This what it
fucking
looks like,
lazy shit.
A TA had or a production assistant had like 5 minutes to make things that look like they have pomegranates in them. So they sliced one, they slapped it on a white cake, and then this toast,
like a strawberry cake.
Have you ever?
The top has fruit on it.
Have you ever seen Public Enemy, the old Public Enemy movie,
no.
The Jimmy Cagney one?
No.
There's a scene where he like shoves a grapefruit into a woman's face during breakfast. It's a very famous scene. It looks like this is what the production assistant did to this piece of toast.
Yeah, no, she literally just took seeds and like
smushed it right in there. And here's your toast. Like it's not even it's just like white bread. It's not even toasted.
No, yeah, which is another thing. Like it's toast.
People who like white toast are gross as fuck.
No, I don't understand that. If your toast doesn't have color, what's the point? Just eat it.
Ridiculous.
Don't call it toast. It's just bread. Bread is not toast.
Shmush bread. Speaking of Jersey Shore. Snooki's nickname is Shmush Bread. Chris, I don't know. I don't watch that show either. I only watch I Love Lucy.
There's the Smush Room.
There it is. I knew it was a reference to something. Chris, anything else to add here?
Fucking gross.
There it is. We then get a second montage, Chris, of teens having magical fun with the carnival, including taking photos behind like one of those cutout things. Harvey surfing on a flying carpet. So he gets a lot of surfing in today. Eating never-ending corn dogs and candy apples. And, most fun of all, watching an old lady drink prune juice out of a water fountain.
That water fountain idea is cool, though.
That is like one
but
of the more...
But then they don't drink from it. They have cups.
And the weird thing is they eventually have like a little creamer for milk. Like, what are they putting milk in? It's just sitting there.
Do you know what kind of bothers me?
What's that?
That... This is a very little thing that bothered me.
Go figure.
The tickets.
Yes.
That they get both sides of the tickets. Like, why? They literally went to a party store. The way you have tickets is you have one that goes... They're raffle tickets. So
right.
You have one that goes into a raffle and one that gets handed to the person. They have both sides.
I see what you
mean.
So
they rip off both sides.
You really could have just taken like the thing and cut it in half.
But you would have had to cut it in half because when it comes with both.
I see.
So they could have just bought... like tickets that were individual tickets,
mm-hmm.
But no, they bought the double-sided one, which are raffle tickets.
at its heart, the show was still run for like $40. Ridiculous.
That it was a very small thing, but for whatever reason, it bothered me because I'm like, it shows lack of forethought when you're buying these tickets. Okay.
Come on, guys. So we then see them sitting at a table and they each have one last wish. Harvey decides he'd like to meet giant 7-year-old and Mariners pitcher Mark Langston. give me a break. He does look like he would clean his room for a week if you promise him a Wally Pop. Like, he looks like a giant 5-year-old. Okay. Langston asks Harvey to warm him up, and we quickly hear a real cannonball pitch go by as Harvey notes that Mark Langston just broke his hand. We then get Valerie's wish, which is to dance with somebody who's funny, can really move, and did she call him sexy also? So cute. So cute. We find out that it's 1997 ABC TV star Drew Carey, making one of his many appearances on ABC properties that year. He was also on an episode of Dharma and Greg, where he came in dressed as an astronaut for like 5 seconds. I'm not putting that in because that's a hard quip to find, probably. We then get a third montage. Not really a montage, but just like a scene of dancing where Lindsay Sloan and Drew Carey don't so much dance as do a pretty good job of making it look like they can dance. Like, he dips her, like he like walks around sassily, but there's actually very little dancing going on. He then sits her back down on the bench that she was, and he wishes he had a flower, but he gives her his glasses instead, hoping that she is nearsighted.
Thanks for the dance, Valerie.
This is the best moment of my life.
Gee, I wish I had a rose to give you. Oh, I know. Here, have these. Hope you're nearsighted.
She's back with Sabrina, and she notes that she had a lot of fun, but putting on the glasses, he really is blind. At Westbridge, Chris, we're heading back to fact-based capital of... learning. I'm really
struggle bus.
Whatever. Libby tells a group of parents, see adults.
See, oh my god, that lady.
Hopefully rational people.
That one lady though.
That their children have been going to school with a witch this whole time. And one very overreacting mother yells, my god, we've got to get her out.
Your children are going to school with a proven witch.
Oh, we've got to get her out.
Now, the worst thing is, she's not talking about her daughter. She's talking about getting Sabrina out of the school.
Yeah.
That's more fucked up than just pulling your daughter out because you don't want her going to school with a witch. Like, that's just, like, abuse. That's what happened in, like, the late 80s when people got really scared of AIDS and didn't understand AIDS and were like, we have to make sure that these kids that have AIDS don't go to school.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful. Anyway, to be clear, they also all believe Libby immediately and are all going, oh my god, oh shit, fuck, witches. We all knew this was definitely a thing, and now this girl has verifiable evidence, probably.
That lady, though, she seemed like a conspiracy theorist.
Definitely. You can tell by the length of her dress.
And the way in which she ran up to the front of the crowd.
She's had a lot of practice. Libby then shuts them up so that she can say that, first things first, she gets anything good in Sabrina's locker. So this has gone from, like, hurting this person she doesn't like to just, like, making a couple of bucks here. just getting a couple of interesting things.
Which is also, like...
Oh, look, a Mariah Carey CD. I can use this.
Like, you call her a freak. Why would you want anything in her locker?
So stupidly written. We then go to the pharmaceutical lecture where Zelda feeds Hilda pomegranates. And then illustrates the severity of the bat breath. A bat flies out of Hilda's mouth. And Hilda opens her mouth to show them how bad it really is. And Salem arrives just then, scaring a group of people in the front row, which Hilda takes as an affront to her mouth. This next scene is a bit complicated, so I'm going to try and handle it as adultly as possible. That's a word. Back at the festival, the teens are just chatting. They just walk up and they're just talking about the fun day they've had. When literally, out of nowhere, Valerie gets sucked into a vortex that just happens to be on the floor.
Did you see? Mark Langston signed my bruise.
You're gonna have to describe it to me because I can't see it. Dang! Valerie! Harvey! Oh no, not a swirling vortex!
Harvey, doing a terrible cell job, then also gets sucked into the vortex. And now Sabrina has a bit of trouble on her hands as she spots the giant carny asking for help. The carny asks her why she doesn't just zap them out. She explains that she's out of tickets, but apparently that means she can't use magic at all. The man with no head notes that it looks like she's lost her head, which really doesn't make a lot of sense in this situation.
No.
We then see Zelda explaining that her cure includes boric acid and the shells of dung beetles, shocking Hilda as she said they were raisins. We also see a bored Salem, fair enough, he's probably watching this episode, yawning as he says he's going to get a latte. Thanks a latte is a line he should have said. They love puns on the show. Chris.
Ow.
Can we talk about the vortex?
Yes.
Or the vortex.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
Thank you. First things first, Fuck this show and its writing. There's no conflict, there's no drama. Let's just manufacture some.
It seemed very much like it was already there. Like,
that's the other thing.
From when they show the shot, it kind of looks like it would have already been there.
It's like embedded in the floor.
There's like edges and stuff. It's not just like a hole that opened up. It's like if it looked like almost like a roughened hole that had just been like, you know.
That's the name of my new gay bar, the Roughened Hole.
But no, it's got like rivets and like a whole like studding thing around it that looks like maybe it was like metal thing that just like went shush and opened. Mm-hmm. They stepped on it, maybe. That's possible.
It kind of looks like something.
Like that would have been a ride.
It kind of looks like something someone set up there, like kind of pseudo terrorist thing. Like, oh, we'll get these mortals. We'll trap them in this vortex.
Oh my God. I assumed it was like a ride that they fell into.
Well, then why is she so worried?
She doesn't know.
Wouldn't there be someone running?
From everything, it kind of seems like...
It just happens to be a vortex
but
there.
Doesn't make any sense because it's got, like, it looks pre-established.
I'd like to also point out that my gay bar, the Roughened Hole, will also have a lot of studs. You know what? I should have made
and
that
we'll
joke.
And will be riveting.
Oh. And Harvey might be there.
And Valerie won't ruin your coming out.
Okay. Also, it is kind of cracked along the edge. One thing. Fuck this writing and its lack. This whole episode has had no conflict or drama, so we have to manufacture something right at the last second. Mm-hmm. And it also doesn't feel dramatic because you don't think for a second that they're in any real danger.
Also, bitch, if you had not wasted your tickets...
Had to meet Mark Langston, didn't you, Harvey?
No, that's a valuable one.
Oh, that's
true. But, like,
true.
The fucking corn dogs. I mean, yes, eat the corn dogs. No one wants freaking caramel apples.
But
like,
I don't think we have to use their tickets on those.
They did.
I guess.
Everything. The balloons were tickets.
I guess. Wait, were they?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Also, how's your no homework now, Valerie? You're fucked. Just stuck in a vortex. The other thing I noted here was that... the actual like look of this vortex reminded me an awful lot of
Goosebumps.
No, it
looks like something from Goosebumps.
Fair point, but no, it reminded me a lot of the opening credits of a little show called Phil of the Future.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I only bring that up so that I can download and play the theme song to Phil of the Future.
It was a good song. Now it's Phil. Phil of the Future. Never knew in history just where he would land. Phil. Phil of the Future. He's a 22nd century man. Phil of the Future. He's a 22nd century man.
How many times do you think I listened to that theme song last night?
8.
Pretty close. Not much less than 8. God. What else do we have here?
What happens next, Al?
What happens next, Chris? Sabrina tries to pull them out, but loses her sleeve. Go figure. She laments the fact that now, even if she does rescue her friends, they're going to think she's a monster. fair play, though, because, I mean, you know, it's not like they hate you all the time, but you did let them fall into a vortex somehow. Also, I didn't mention this, but they come from, like, behind the camera, so they walk into the shot and then get sucked back. So, like, they had to walk over the vortex also. If you watch it, they definitely saw this thing and still got sucked in. Bunch of idiots.
That's why I was like, maybe it's like a motion censored thing.
No wonder witches hate mortals. They're clearly fucking idiots.
Yeah. Also, how did Sabrina not get sucked in?
I don't know.
Right?
She just managed. Well, I mean, the fucking, the carny gets sucked in about 10 seconds.
Yeah, but that's different.
He has tickets. She asks for them. He says no. Salem walks by, scares him. He falls in. She catches the tickets that fly up in the air. She stops the vortex with all of the tickets. Waste. And we soon see him, the carny, fly out. And Sabrina finds her friends. But go figure, Quizmaster's the only one wearing a skirt this episode. Nate Richard and Lindsay Sloan have switched outfits. And Nate Richard looks pretty damn good.
It literally makes no sense. Because none of them switched outfits with the headless guy.
Nope.
But yet they switched outfits? Like, why?
Maybe it's because they were in there longer.
No, it's just bullshit. It's bullshit is what it is.
He does wear that outfit pretty damn well.
And then, like, I have a feeling you're going to run through, like, what he says and stuff. So get to it so I can complain about
something. He does note that the skirt is nice and breezy.
You guys hate me, don't you?
No, and I'm beginning to understand why Scott's been wearing kilts. Nice and breezy.
Which is bullshit because he's wearing tights.
He is wearing tights,
which are, first of all, if you've ever had to put on, like, pantyhose tights, they're one of the most constricting, like, things you could put on. And also, super sweaty. Like, super hot. So there's no way that he's going to be like, it's breezy. I mean, he might think it's breezier than wearing pants, but also, he would be, like, super constricted. His balls would be fucking constricted as shit right now. So, no. That
fair.
Is not how Scotsmen feel, wearing kilts. So
fair point. She had a lot of thoughts about that.
But that was way better drag than...
Absolutely. He looks fucking...
He fills out
bomb as fuck in that. And part of it is that he's wearing tights, so it really makes his legs look good. His naturally sexy legs.
Well, no, because with Quizmaster, it seemed like there was some attempt at padding, but not enough attempt at padding.
There
were random bulges.
That's fair. I still think it looks pretty good, though. Well, we will let the internet decide through various quizzes on social media. Get ready, folks. You decide who wore best. Who wore their drag best?
Yeah.
All right. So they decide to capture the moment for posterity with a photo. The carny takes it, although he notes that he has a tendency to cut people's heads off. Get it? Because he's headless. He has no head. Also, we didn't mention this. It's a really shitty headless, like, man look.
Because it's super wide.
It's like... super obvious that it's just a normal guy with a thing on his head.
Yeah.
Terrible.
They don't care.
The teens are then seen coming down the steps where Val gives Sabrina back her sleeve and she notes that she can't believe that they grabbed it when they were so near death. Shocking Harvey, because he didn't really realize, he thought they were on a ride or something, didn't really realize they were near death. She changes the subject. She says that magic is so much better when you can share it with your friends. And then Valerie, good old Val, lets slip her deepest, darkest secret.
So this, lame.
This is my other favorite moment from this episode. She notes that Sabrina is so lucky as her only secret is that she's allergic to watermelon, and then knows, well, that's out.
You're so lucky. The only secret I have is that I'm allergic to watermelon. Well, that's out.
Excellent delivery. They then open the door and are shocked to be accosted by a lot, more than half a dozen news reporters, along with Libby, trying to find out if Sabrina has magical powers. Libby says not to ask Sabrina herself and goes to Harvey first, offering to cut him in on her book deal. He says that she's having another episode. This should be a bit of a warning to the news reporters who should probably get out of there. Nope. Libby then goes to Valerie, offering that the popular girls will not forget that she helped Libby in this if she does. Val considers it, but after a bit of hesitation, she says that she's very sorry about this, but she has no idea what Libby's talking about, that old coot. And immediately...
Coot.
Coot.
Cook.
Coot. Crazy old coot.
Maybe
it, you know what? If I just say it wrong enough, it becomes a word. That's how words
sure.
work. Immediately, all the reporters are like, oh, fuck. Another teen prank. We've fallen for this 6 times today. And they leave.
Looks like another high school prank.
She is a witch! And an extraterrestrial! Do an alien autopsy!
Chris. If nothing else, this episode does prove that what I've long believed, Nate Richard looks good in a skirt.
He does.
Now, what the fuck, Libby? I don't get what's wrong with this bumfuck town that everyone immediately believes Libby. These are newsmen and women who have apparently already been tricked by teens, and yet they are willing to believe that Sabrina is a witch without any evidence from Libby. How fucking convincing is this Libby character? My God, she should be, she must be a salesman when she grows up or something.
Well,
because
I think you have to consider that, like, it wasn't just her. Like, they show just her talking to the parents, but also, like, other people at the school corroborated it.
We're putting that bit in that this episode never notes that anyone besides Libby saw Sabrina doing magic.
Yeah, but they all believed her.
They did.
So if they believed her, and then by the time it got to the adults, all of these teens are saying that she's a witch, then I understand a little bit more, because
really,
it's still bullshit and still ridiculous, but. Yeah.
I'm going to show Chris a photo of 7-year-old Mark Langston.
He does look like a child. I think it's his hair.
And his dumb little, like, po-gum smile.
I think the thing also is that the writing for Libby has just gotten so bad.
Yeah.
Where I feel like this is part of the reason why she eventually leaves. Because the writing, like, Libby was like a badass bitch. Like, it was enjoyable to watch Libby be Libby. And now it's like, she doesn't have any good one-liners. Like, she's not, like, doing anything all that interesting. Like, even her jokes with Valerie, like, they're not good. They're not well-written. So, and also, like, step up her fucking wardrobe. Like, you need me to believe that this girl is, like, the most popular girl in the school.
I don't know what they thought they were putting her in.
Why would she be impressed by that fuckboy? Like, legit. Like, he was not cute.
I mean,
He was not. I'm sorry.
I mean,
no.
He's probably like a baseball player or something.
He looks like a douche.
Take that, baseball. Oh, one thing I didn't touch on, but I do want to touch on here. There are a lot of new posters in the halls of Westbridge episode.
You with the fucking posters.
I love them because I think they're fun and interesting to read, and I have to, it's fun to imagine who had to make some of these posters. There's one that is a AIDS poster.
Okay.
Which I don't really understand what the point of it is, but I think I guess it's saying
AIDS
something.
Prevention.
No, it literally just says AIDS, it doesn't discriminate, and there's a picture of a black man and a white woman. I guess that needs to be,
well, it needs to be said in terms of, like,
pointed out.
Don't think that certain people are going to get AIDS that you're not at risk.
Susceptible?
Yeah.
Right. There's also a drugs poster that I think is not doing its job.
They're cool.
It looks like a 1996 poster, because there's like a computerized face and it's got needles coming into the head.
What does it say?
Underneath it says, drugs, they're to die for. Now look.
Get it? Because you'll die.
I do get it. I still wouldn't write that and hang it on a high school.
No, I feel like it's a little too, like, movie title.
No, and also, kind of sounds like you're condoning drugs.
It sounds like a movie tagline.
And there's another one, but there's another one that's not as good, but there is one that's right by where Libby was sucking her thumb, and it says, this is actually a returning one. It says, eat a potato, don't be one. And there's a picture of a potato sitting on a couch.
Oh, okay. Like, get active.
Yes, and eat lots of potatoes. Chris.
Get your starchy vegetables.
Chris, let's wrap up here. The episode then goes on as everyone leaves, and Valerie just says that it's past midnight, as she knows that her parents will be wondering where she is. And then, bam, just like that, her memory's wiped. She doesn't know where she's been. And Sabrina tells her that they were just hanging out. Harvey notes that his hand is throbbing and wonders if they committed any crimes. But Sabrina won't really let him know. She says, not really.
How do they not, like, get more freaked out by the fact that they don't remember what they've been doing all day?
That's a good point,
like,
too.
Even if you've just been hanging out, how do you, like, the not remembering part would freak me the fuck out.
Maybe they thought, like, they were just high as fuck.
Yeah, probably.
Because they saw that drug
they're
poster.
They're to die
for. Yeah. Best try some of these drugs. 'Tis the school pushing them. English?
Okay, Gwendolyn.
I was going to say, she ruined my crops, that bitch Zelda. Listen. After that, they go home. Sabrina has a very happy look on her face. We then cut to the kitchen where Hilda is trying to find out what Zelda has. Zelda won't show her. Eventually, we find out it's new packaging for Zelda's bat breath savers, which are really just the most obvious Tic Tacs.
Yep.
Like, they even left a little tag that says 1.5 calorie mint.
Yep.
Like, you guys are going to get sued. Don't do this again. But Hilda is offended to find out that it's a photo of Hilda on the wrapper with a bat coming out of her mouth. And it says, what does it say, Chris? Cures Hildatosis.
Yeah, I knew it was Hildatosis. I couldn't remember if it was prevents.
Kills Hildatosis?
This starts an argument, but Sabrina comes in. And she tells them that she decided to tell Harvey and Valerie and that their relationship will never be the same again. They worry that this means something bad happened, but she just notes, smiling upon the photos that she has that they've taken over the course of the day, that she likes her friends so much more now. Credits then roll. That's where that bit ends. The credits roll as the Spellmans walk into the living room, finding a sleeping Salem who's all tuckered out after a long day of scaring people. They decide to get a little retribution, zapping in a bullhorn, which scares Salem so much that he jumps onto the chandelier. Salem notes that he still has 8 lives, 7 after he comes down from the chandelier, and that's where the credits are over and the episode closes.
That's okay. I have another 8 lives.
7 after I fall down from here.
Chris.
Mm-hmm.
That last scene.
Several things.
Go on.
So, did you notice what when Sabrina comes into the kitchen, her sleeve is reattached?
I did not notice that.
Her sleeve is reattached.
That's shame on you guys. What have you done?
I guess she magically reattached it.
Makes sense. Although she doesn't have any tickets.
Well, now it's after midnight.
Yeah,
it's
a good point. What else did you have here?
The other thing is, that's definitely Tic Tacs.
Yes. Oh, good. And it's the green ones, which I don't remember liking.
It's orange or nothing.
Absolutely.
It's orange or nothing. I think I had something else on them.
The orange ones might look too jack-o'-lantern-y. You figure they would just use white ones because they look like pills. Like every high school production would just use Tic Tacs as pills. And probably Broadway.
I feel like I had something, but I forgot it while you went on to the next scene.
Fair enough.
Like when you mentioned it, I had something.
Well, too bad.
But Salem does look fucking adorable in the pendant lamp.
Anytime they use real cat Salem.
It's so cute.
It's cute as hell. Chris, that's where the episode...
Oh, yes. Sorry, it just came to me. You mentioned the photos.
Mm-hmm.
They were using a disposable camera, so they got them developed.
Yeah, other realm development would be less than an hour. There's 1 hour development.
It would
development
be like 1 minute, I guess.
Or Sabrina could just use that camera that her father gave her, which
she didn't though.
I know
they had a disposable camera.
They sure did, which is fun because like some of the photos are clearly from like the actual camera because they have like they have that look of a disposable camera photo where it's like far too bright.
That's cute.
It is nice.
Good for them.
And the one of the photos is that one where Valerie and Harvey have like their heads through the cutouts.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking like that meme about like my culture is not your prom dress. It's like Sabrina being
Which
super
culture?
Offended. Which yep. culture? Chris, that is the episode, though. Of course, couple of things to do before we get out of here. First and foremost, we need to rank this episode on the TGIF scale, the This Good I Feel scale. How we rank all
your names.
Very serious here. 1 to 5 scale. Each number has a corresponding TGIF show. Chris, where does this fall for you? I'll make it easy for you. A 1 is a You Wish and a 2 is a Teen Angel.
No, I mean, I feel like it's a 3.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
I feel like the idea is good. It's a good idea in terms of, like, her wanting to... She struggles a lot with, like, her witch side and, like, having to hide it. So I think it is an important episode in terms of that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it could have been a lot more had they not tried to... do the whole B story part, and then like the fact that they didn't go deep enough into it. I feel like it could have been a 2-part episode.
Possibly. Although, like, they would have to have some sort of drama, and yeah, this show has none.
If they do the break when they find out.
Maybe. But then, I mean, you have to fill a lot of time in that first.
But I feel like it doesn't... I think I'm thinking of it from like a more dramatic perspective, and this is a 30-minute sitcom.
This episode definitely should have been more meaningful.
Yeah.
It feels like a throwaway.
I feel like the idea is good. Right. I feel like certain little parts of it are good and cute, so for that I gave it a 3, but I feel like they could have done a lot more with it.
I agree. I'm going to give it a low 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's not very good in any respect. The idea, as you said, is good, but there's no drama. They have clearly very few ideas after the initial idea of Sabrina gets to tell her friends, because there's 2 montages that each eat up like a minute. There's another dance scene that eats up another minute.
I feel like the montages are because they had so many like little ideas. Like, they had an idea planning meeting, and people threw out a bunch of options, and they're like, yes, 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 let's put them in a montage. Make everything seem more magical.
Fair enough. Chris, main event here, of course. Back of the Wooden Closet Award, our episodic award for each installment's biggest fashion flop. Who gets it for you, Chris?
Quizmaster.
The Quizmaster Green?
Honestly, that first outfit, the basket weave, yellow, black, gray top with the sheened lime green pants. For me, I mean, he looked better in the other outfit. He didn't pad well, but he looked better in the other outfit.
Fair. Mine is here's a picture I'm going to show Chris of Quizmaster in his Arctic attire. Same outfit, but with like a big yellow jacket.
I like it. He looks like the people from Steve Zissou, Life Aquatic.
He's got a big orange hat.
Yeah.
Mine is obviously going to Libby. I don't know. Like, it is an outfit that looks like an outfit, but it looks really fucking dumb on her.
It's so
wrong.
It's something a mom would be wearing. It doesn't fit.
Absolutely. And I hate it. And I thought, by and large, most of the clothes on this episode wasn't that bad.
No. Sabrina's like, was like a dragon top.
It was like a weird, it had a red like dragon circle on it. It was fine. It's not great, but it's not.
It was trendy at the time.
Sure. And it looked good with the skirt and the tights she was wearing and everything else.
Harvey's outfits weren't that bad.
She's wearing a blue shirt. I thought Valerie actually looked really cute in the brown.
I didn't mention, but like, if we had like we give awards for like awful outfits, yes. But I feel like if an award for like best outfit of the episode, it would be Valerie in the dance scene because she looked bomb. Like,
it is a good dress. Her hair looks really nice too. Good. Yeah. But we won't be doing that because I've already used all the good names. There you go. That is the episode, folks. I do want to say thank you to Chris for being back one last time. What a champ. Chris, let people know where they can check out what you read, what you write about, and all the things you think about.
They can do that on chrisconkers.com.
Chrisconkers.com. And they can interact with you, tell you what they thought about what they read there, at Chris Conkers on Instagram and Twitter, and of course, no H in Chris Conkers. You can and you should follow Sabrina's Witch Trials on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Facebook and Instagram.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials and Twitter.com/Sabrina Podcast. Listen to us everywhere. Subscribe to us everywhere. Review us everywhere. Do all of those everywhere, all the time. Just writing things, nice things, things I want to hear.
Nice things.
The next episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch, which we will be talking about, is episode 11 of season 2. Oh, what a tangled spell she weaves. Pretty good pun.
That's a good one.
Which features Bobcat Goldthwait. You remember him?
Oh, God, I hear the voice in my head.
That's right, from Hercules. He's in there as Merlin, and Sabrina goes to work at the Slicery. A lot of fun things going to happen in an okay episode.
Salinas
is going to appear. We get a fun I Love Lucy segment, if I remember correctly, and a whole bunch else. But that'll be the next episode of Sabrina's Witch Trials. We will also be starting up some really fun shorter like bonus episodes. I'm going to try and get some of our most popular guests and most prevalent guests and most easy to book guests back.
Wow.
So that
flatterer.
Hey, you know, we can't all be that guy making out with Olivia. We can't all have that charm.
Fuck boy.
We're gonna get some of them back and do some fun shorter podcasts just to get audio and get content out more quickly, because sometimes doing a whole episode, it is a drag, and getting something
much
out
like
in between
this episode.
Much like this episode, much like this statement I'm making right now, but I do want to get stuff out more quickly. I am aiming to do that over the summer and going forward, so look forward to some of those.
Consistency and frequency.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Looking forward to getting some of those out. Those will be coming out not too far down the line. But until then, I want to say thank you so much to everybody for listening. I really do enjoy getting tweets and Instagram posts and stuff like that saying how much you're enjoying it. It really, you don't know how meaningful it actually is. And I will just say, we will see you in the other realm.
Hey, help me! My friends are swirling!
Why don't you just zap them out?
I'm out of tickets.
Oh, I guess you lost your head.